Go with me, if you would, back to 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's read what will be our actual text, which is verses 22 and 23. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, as I'm sure you well know, those are the next verses in line in our study through 1 Peter. I didn't randomly select those verses. But being that today's February the 14th, I can't think of a better subject to deal with than love. Love. He said in verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. He gives an exhortation for us because of something that was done for us. And that's always the case. Every exhortation we have in the Scripture is exhorted because of something that was first done for us. Everything that we're exhorted to do is just a result of something that's already done. And he's going to tell us that the cause and the effect, the motivation and the result, everything that he's saying right here is because of love. It's all because of love. I'd like for us to see three things in this. God's love for us, our love for God, and our love for each other. God's love for us, our love for God, and our love for each other. Verse 22 says that our souls were purified through the Spirit, by way of God's Spirit. That's how it happens. If a soul is going to be purified, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, that's the gift of God. God sends His Spirit with faith to believe on Christ. And that's how it happens every time. It's by way of God's Spirit. And then verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's God's love for us. That's His love for us. That was the cause of it all. That's where it all started. Last Sunday night, we were in verses 18 to 21. And verse 18 says, you were redeemed. Tonight, our text says in verse 23, born again. Verse 18 said, not with corruptible things. Our text tonight says, not of corruptible seed. Not by anything that's tainted by death. Not by anything that is corrupted or can be corrupted ever again. Isn't that wonderful? Never again. Never corrupted by sin ever again. Verse 19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Our text tonight says, but incorruptible. Not corruptible seed, incorruptible. Verse 20 says, who verily was foreordained. He was foreordained to this. Verse 23 says, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. That's God's love for us. God's love for us. Don't you love love? Don't you love God's love for us? Just dwelling on God's love for us. It's amazing, isn't it? I started thinking about that as I read this text. I thought of those, you know, God's love for us, our love for Him, our love for each other. As I was thinking about God's love for us, this song popped into my mind. Just listen to these words. There will never be a sweeter story. And it's so true. Of all the stories that could ever be told, there will never be a sweeter story. Story of the Savior's love, divine. God's love. The story of divine love. Love that brought Him from the realms of glory just to save a sinful soul like mine. Boundless as the universe around me. Where does the universe end? How far do you go out into space before you hit a wall? That's it. Boundless. As the let's talk about God's love. What is God's love to us? Boundless. How far could you go into God's love? How far in eternity can you go into God's love? Where do you stop? Where does it end? Boundless as the universe around me, reaching to the farthest soul away, saving, keeping love it was that found me. That is why my heart can truly say, love beyond our human comprehending. Love of God in Christ, how can it be? This will be my theme and never ending. I'll never stop talking about this. What I'm talking about tonight, I'll never stop talking about this. Great redeeming love of Calvary. Isn't the love of the Lord Jesus Christ something wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful. Isn't the love of the Lord Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful it is to me. Turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, verse 1 says, at the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel. I love that he said families. Wouldn't you love for God to save our families? I pray God will save me. But I pray God will save my family. And I pray God will save my family. You're my family. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel. And they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. Even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. That's what happened on the cross. I went to cause him to rest. And through that they found grace. Verse 3, the Lord hath appeared of old, saying unto me, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. How did he love us? How did he draw us to himself? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I love it every time he calls us his friends. I love that. I love that. You think about that, friends. Your friend is who you will be there for. You will be there for your friend. I need you. I'll be there. You're my friend. Your friend is who you want to spend your time with. He said, Father, I will that where I am, they may be also. I want them to be with me. They're my friends. Your friend is who you will tell the deepest secrets of your heart to. That he would choose us to be his friends. We who were dead in trespasses and sins. He chose us to be his friends. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, quickened us together with Christ. He chose us, quickened us together with Christ. What does that mean? He quickened us together with Christ. That means he borned us again. That's what it means. He begot us again, begotten again. The corruptible seed of man ruined us. Corruptible. So God quickened us together with the incorruptible seed of Christ in his life, in his death. And when he arose from that death, every soul that was quickened with him was born again. At that moment, they were born again. Life again. Born into his family. The family of the Word himself. The Word, Christ, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's the love of God toward us. That's the amazing love of God toward us. John wrote, Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. All throughout eternity, the angels are going to be called the angels of God. The cherubims are going to be called the cherubims of God. We're going to be called the sons of God. Sons of God. Behold God's great love. Great love. All right, now every soul that God loves, he has a question for that soul. Every single soul that God loves, every single one. This is a precious question. Precious. Everyone. He asked this question to one man in particular. But he recorded it in the Word to ask every single soul that he has chosen to love. He asks every single one, every one of us. This is to every single one. It's in John 21. Turn with me over there to John 21. John 21, look at the middle of verse 16. He said, Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Behold how I've commended my love to you. Behold how I have commended my love to you. Lovest thou me? He asked every single one that. He asked every single one that, do you love me? I have loved you. Do you love me? Verse 16, Peter said unto him, Yea, Lord. Oh, do I ever. Let me ask you this question. Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord that redeemed you? Do I ever? Do I ever? Those who have been born again through receiving the Spirit of the incorruptible Word of God, every one of them love Him with all of their new heart. All of it. All of it. With being born again comes a brand new heart. Aren't you so glad for that? Do you know anything of that old stony heart that the corruptible seed produced? That original, do you know anything of that? That thing is just as hard as it ever was. That thing is just as stony as it ever was. Every time we get a good look at that heart, we're so discouraged and we ask ourselves, do I love the Lord? Do I love the Lord or no? Oft it causes anxious thought. Thank God he gives a brand new heart. Brand new heart. With that brand new heart, God's people love him with every fiber of their being. God's Spirit comes in and graciously moves the mind of the child away from that old stony heart to the brand new heart. It's called putting on the new man. And the child is so relieved, I do love the Lord. Because of God's love for me, because of what he did for me, and because of what he put in me, and because how he has just turned me. Lord, you turned me and I'll be turned. And now I see what he has done in me. And the answer is, yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. It's the result of his doing. It's the response to his action. That's what the new heart says. Our effect of his cause. That's what it is. We love him because he first loved us. And that's a real love. You know, you don't have to force people to love the Lord Jesus Christ once he does a work in their heart. Gives them that new heart. You don't have to force them to. Nobody has to force me to love my wife. You don't have to do that. You don't have to keep people pumped up. Now you got to keep loving your Lord now. You don't have to do that. Lovest thou me? Yea, Lord. Peter was grieved when he said it, wasn't he? He was grieved at his heart. And we know something about that. Oh, yea, Lord. I wish I wasn't like I was. But you know I do. Peter said, you know. You know I love you. Verse 16, thou knowest that I love thee. You know all things, he said down in verse 17. You know. His love for us, our love for him. His love for us. His true love for us produces a true love for him. A true love. Now go back to 1 Peter 1. Verse 8 says, whom having not seen, you love. You most certainly do. That's a statement, not a question. Peter said, whom having not seen, you love. Peter said, I know from experience. I was asked this question personally. Do you love me? Peter said, I know what's in your heart. If God's done a work in your heart, I know what's in there. You love. Whom having not seen, you love. Verse 22, our text, it says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit. That means you believe. You love. You believe. You obey. You purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. You bow. Why do you do that? Why do you believe? Why do you obey? Why do you bow? The answer is you love. You love. And this is what he has to say to all those whom he loves and who love him. Verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Unfeigned means undisguised. You can't even hide it. Even if you wanted to, you can't hide it. It's wide out in the open for all to see. Unfeigned means without hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is acting. Unfeigned means completely sincere. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. See that you love one another with a completely sincere, without hypocrisy, wide open for everybody to see, love for one another, love for the brethren. After the Lord asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And after Peter said, "Absolutely, I do. Lord, I do. You know I do." After that, the Lord said to him, "Then Peter, I want you to feed my sheep." He asked him, "Do you love me?" "Yea, Lord, you know I do." He said, "Then feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep." In Matthew 25, he said, "Inasmuch as you have done it unto them, you've done it unto me." You do it to them, you're doing it to me. Let's remember that. Let's remember that. Inasmuch as you've done it unto them, you're doing it to me. He said in Matthew 22, there are two great commandments in this word. Two great commandments. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love me and love each other. Sincerely, without acting, without hypocrisy. Let me show you something over in Song of Solomon chapter 4. This is just precious. Song of Solomon chapter 4. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He's speaking to His Spirit. Okay, this is our Lord speaking to His Spirit. Verse 16, Song of Solomon 4:16 says, "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits." Christ said to his Spirit, "Blow upon my people." The wind blows where it listeth. Even so the Spirit blows where our Lord tells him to blow. And he says, "You come blow on my garden and produce your sweet fruit." What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness. When the Spirit comes to a child of God, this is what you see in the child of God. You see love. A child of God cannot hate. A child of God can dislike, but he can't hate. He can't hate. When he looks at a person, the underlying final say is, "I pray God would save you." Love, joy comes to that person. Peace comes to that person. You saying that person's never in turmoil, never sorrow? Not saying that at all. But the peace of God passes all that. It passes understanding. They rest in Christ. Gentleness comes to that person. Goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He said, "Blow upon my garden that the spices may flow out." Go with me over to John 13. John 13, verse 34 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." He said, that's how you'll prove your love to me. "By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." Don't turn over there, but John said back in 1 John 3, he said, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren." He said, "He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Doesn't that make us want to say, "Lord, produce a love in me"? John said, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." We ought to lay down our lives for each other. In Ephesians 4, verse 2, Paul said, "Forbear one another in love." That word "forbear" literally means endure, put up with. Put up with me. That's what it means. Put up with me. For love's sake, put up with me. Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, "Provoke one another to love." Don't let up on each other. Not until love comes. Provoke, provoke, provoke one another to love. Go back to 1 Peter 1. Verse 22 says, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." His love for us has caused our love for him. And our love for him has caused our love for each other. That's why we love each other. His love started it. His love caused our love for him. And our love for him has caused our love for each other. It's the fruit of the love of God. That good and pleasant love for the brethren. Behold how good, how pleasant it is. That is the undisguised evidence, the pure and fervent evidence that we love him. Love for each other. True love for each other. And I'm going to close with this. If we love him, this is a wonderful thing to think about and dwell on and ponder and hope in and look forward to. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 2. First Corinthians 2, verse 7 says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." I've seen pictures of an island in the South Pacific. I've seen many pictures. I've looked at it a lot, this particular island. It looks to me like it's probably the most beautiful, wonderful place on this earth. It honestly, I can't imagine a more beautiful, You know, all you can, there's nothing on the island. All you can do is lay in a hammock. Peaceful, restful. You've never seen water like this. The water is so clear. The pictures, they call them floating boats. It just looks like sand. It looks like the desert. The water is so shallow because it's all of these volcano islands connected barely under the water. Very shallow, very clear, and it's so clear it looks like floating boats. I just can't imagine seeing a better place. If I was going to pick one place on earth I could go, that would be it. But here's the thing. I've seen it. That means it cannot compare to what the Lord has prepared for them that love Him. It doesn't even come close. I've seen it. I have not seen. I've heard things that to me sound like the most beautiful sounds on earth. But here's the problem. I've heard them. That means they don't come close. I have imagined what heaven is going to be like. Have you ever imagined what heaven is going to be like? Do you ever envision heaven? But here's the problem. I've imagined it. Neither has entered into the heart of man. It cannot be described. What God has prepared for them that love Him. If we love Him, why do we love Him? Because He first loved us. What's the evidence that we love Him? Love for the brethren. It can't be compared. It cannot be compared. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Does that not promote love? Thank God for His love to us. If it were not for His love to us, we couldn't even be talking about this. Thank God for our love to Him. And thank God for our love to each other. I sincerely beg our Lord. I believe He will. I believe He will bless our love. Lord, bless our love. Make love grow here. Make this a house of love. This is a little bitty house, but love grows in little bitty houses, doesn't it? Make it to grow into a pure, sincere, fervent love. I want to honestly, purely, sincerely love you. I pray the Lord would produce that here for Christ's sake. All right, let's all stand together.